Nice to be with you again this morning in the ministry of the Word of God. This morning I would like to deal with the subject of no condemnation. Tonight we want to deal with building for God. What it means to build for God and work in building with God. We're turning to three passages in the Word of God this morning. We begin with John chapter 3, the third chapter of John, and we're acquainted with the fact that in John 3, our Lord is having an interview with Nicodemus. It is in John 3 that our Lord said to Nicodemus, except a man be born from above, or born again. A better rendering is born from above, a spiritual birth. He cannot see the kingdom of God. But verse 14 says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now from John chapter 18, the 18th chapter, and we begin our reading at verse 3. John chapter 18, verse 3, we read, Judas then, having received a band of men and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Jesus, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon as he had said, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, of them which thou gavest me, I have lost none. One more passage, Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, our hearts rejoice in the knowledge that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Those words, no condemnation, are precious to our hearts. But that word now gives us assurance that causes our hearts to leap for joy. And we pray, O God, that thou wilt enable each who hears thy word today to know for certainty in their own soul that there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Those of us who have been saved by the grace of God, we enjoy telling others about salvation, how it is, and what it is to be born of God, to be saved, and to know it. And we also are aware of something. We're well aware of the fact that there's only one message that will ever deliver a person from the bondage of sin, from the lake of fire, and from death, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is nothing like the gospel. There's something about the gospel that is attractive. You never get tired of it. The gospel is a message about God. The gospel is a message about Christ. The gospel is a message about sin. And the more we learn of the gospel, the sweeter it becomes to us. Now, the way of salvation is the plainest message that you can find in the Word of God. And in spite of how plain it is, more errors have been developed around the doctrine of salvation and the plan of salvation and the faith that saves a soul than anything else that you can ever imagine. Why has this happened? Now, I examine after I'm through preaching what I've said. My biggest concern is that I communicate and communicate aright the message of the gospel. And this morning I want to dwell on the theme, he that believeth is not condemned. Think of those words. He that believeth is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, what does that mean? He that believeth is not condemned. That word believeth is pistuo, and it means faith. It's a word for faith in the New Testament. He that believeth. And I want to talk about five things concerning faith this morning. So that when you leave, you can ask yourself the question, have I really believed to the saving of the soul? And therefore, we want to deal, first of all, with the object of faith. Faith must have an object. And the object of faith in the New Testament, in the Word of God, is our Lord Jesus Christ. I am told in the Word of God to believe. Remember when Paul and Silas were at Philippi, the jailer cried out, what must I do to be saved? And the answer was simple, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now, what am I to believe? You see, faith must have an object outside of itself in which to believe, and in which to put that confidence and that hope. Therefore, Christ is the object of faith. Now, I'm told in the Word of God to look. At what am I to look? You see, God in Isaiah 45 says, look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved, for I am God, and beside me there is none else. Now, in the New Testament, the object of faith is our Lord Jesus Christ. It is here, friends, that many make a big mistake. And they make a mistake because they think that God the Father is the object of faith rather than the person of Christ. It is our Lord Jesus who is the object of faith. A person says, but I believe in God. God is not the object of faith. Christ is the object of faith. And we believe in the atoning work of Christ before we believe in the love of God the Father. It is that atoning work of Christ that is the object of faith. Before we believe in the eternal love of God the Father, we believe in the efficacy of the blood of Calvary's cross. Now, it is God the Father who elects. So we read in the Word of God. How do I know if I'm one of the elect? Oh, it's very simple, friends. Have you appropriated the work of Christ? Have you believed in the Lord Jesus Christ? If you have, the Word of God says, he that believeth is not condemned. You see, a lot of people get all excited about whether they're of the elect or not. No need to worry about that. Because if you've appropriated Christ, you are. You are. He that believeth is not condemned. So, it is Christ who is the object of faith. It is not God the Father, and it is not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not the object of faith. You see, many people look within for certain feelings. Now, there are some days you feel well. There are other days you don't feel so good. You see? And what about those days where you don't feel well? Are you still saved? It's not your feelings you're saved. It is Christ alone who is the object of saving faith. Now the whole of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is involved in the salvation of the soul. All three. For it is God the Father who elects. It is God the Son who redeems. And it is God the Holy Spirit who applies. But the object of faith is our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we read in John chapter 3. In John 3, our Lord told Nicodemus, except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot enter in. He must be born from above. He has to be the recipient of a new birth, which results in a new nature. And it was Nicodemus who said to the Lord Jesus, how can these things be? Our Lord is answering in John chapter 14. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. In other words, the object that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. In whom? In that one who is lifted up on the cross, in the Son of Man. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then our Lord went on in that great text, John 3:16. But then he added, he that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth is not condemned. The object of faith is our Lord Jesus Christ. But more than that, we have the reason for faith. The reason for faith. And the reason for faith arises out of a sense of need. You and I have a definite need before God. The sinner realizes that he cannot help himself. Therefore, he turns to the person of Christ for salvation. The sinner is driven into a corner, like Israel was when they were redeemed from Egyptian bondage. What a beautiful picture that is. God led them in Egypt. As they were leaving Egypt, he led them to a place where he was going to open the sea and take them through. But before the sea opened, you see, there were mountains on either side, and the army of Egypt was following them, and the sea was in front of them. Which way can I go? They were in desperate straits. They cried to Moses, and God said to Moses, or Moses said to the people, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And Hebrews 11 tells us, by faith, the children of Israel went through the Red Sea as on dry ground. There was a desperate need, a need for deliverance. The sinner, likewise, is driven into a corner, and there is but one way of escape, and that one way of escape is the righteousness of another. If I'm going to be in the presence of God, I need a righteousness which I do not possess by nature. And no one else does. It is a righteousness that is perfect. Our Lord said, except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you can't come in. We need a righteousness that I don't have. And I need it. And I look to one who can provide it, the Lord Jesus. And when we're saved, we are given the very righteousness of our blessed Lord. How does a sinner learn that he is lost and ruined? The answer is, it is a gift of God. It is a gift of God. It is the work of the Spirit of God. And the witness of the Spirit of God is to draw attention to the object of faith, our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we proclaim Christ, we are totally dependent upon the Spirit of God and the Word of God to do a work in the heart of the sinner. It was so with us. None of us ever saved ourselves. We weren't saved by the activity of other people. We were saved through the activity of the Spirit of God and the Word of God in regenerating grace in our hearts. But there was a human instrument that told us. And that's why we proclaim Christ. And that's why we preach the gospel. Oh, there's a reason for faith. And the reason for faith is, I have a desperate need. All the need that we have to know Christ and to be saved from sin. Now, what's the foundation of the sinner's faith? Faith not only has an object, faith not only has a reason, but faith has a foundation. We sing sometimes how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. It is not that I feel my need alone, but that I have a need. I have a desperate need to be saved. We don't come to Christ as a sensible sinner. Oh, 1 Timothy 1:15 says, this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It didn't say he came into the world to save awakened sinners. You can't put an adjective in front of that. He didn't come into the world to save enlightened sinners. He didn't come into the world to save poor sinners or rich sinners or religious sinners. He came into the world to save sinners, period. No matter what kind of a sinner you are, the answer is, here's the foundation. Christ came to save sinners. You see, I bring nothing to Christ when I get saved but sin. That's all I have. I can't claim, oh, I'm an enlightened sinner. I can't come and claim I am this kind of a sinner or that kind of a sinner. We come as sinners. Toplady had it right when he wrote, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked, come to thee for dress. Helpless, look to thee for grace. Foul, I to the fountain fly. Wash me, Savior, or I die. We don't come as penitent sinners, as awakened sinners, or sensible sinners. We come as sinners. Oh, I want you to look at the promise of faith. He that believeth is not condemned. Christ's word of promise to the sinner is so blessed. It is to the one who believes in Christ. The gospel announces, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Now on that ground, God commands me to believe. He's commanded me to believe, and therefore I have a right to believe. I have a right to believe. Now, I can't be wrong in doing it. I was commanded to do so. I can't be wrong, friends, in obeying a command of God. And God commands all. Believe and be saved. Oh, if you leave here lost today, you see, he that believeth not is condemned already. But he that believeth is not condemned. And you can never go wrong in obeying a command of God. Obey and be saved. You see, this is indeed a blessed promise. It is one that hell can't gainsay. Our Lord said, he that believeth is not condemned. It's our promise that heaven can't withdraw. He that believeth is not condemned. You see, this was not added out of anger by the Lord because he knew how wicked the mind of man is. In refusing what God has provided by grace, oh no, it's the mercy of God, friends, that thunders this good news to us. He that believeth is not condemned. Think of it. Now there's nothing in God's word to keep you from coming. There isn't a thing in the word of God to keep you from coming. But there are threatenings to drive you, and there are powers to draw you. Oh, what a promise this is. The promise for faith to lay hold of. Now, what are the results? The results of faith. The word of God says, he that believeth is not condemned. That teaches me that the power of Jesus' blood is so great. Our sins were laid to his charge so that his righteousness might be mine. Now that is so beautifully illustrated in John chapter 18. That is why we read that passage. Last Sunday night, at the Lord's Supper here, we sang one of my favorite hymns. It is the greatest hymn of substitution that I have ever come across. O Christ, what burdens bowed thy head, our load was laid on thee. Thou stoodest in the sinner's stead to bear all ill for me. And that second stanza, death and the curse were in our cup, O Christ. 'Twas full for thee, but thou hast drained the last dark drop. 'Tis empty now for me. That bitter cup love drank it up, left but the love for me. Jehovah lifted up his rod. O Christ, it fell on thee. Thy open bosom was my ward. It bore the storm for me. Thy form was scarred, thy visage marred. Now cloudless peace for me. There are two more stanzas. Oh, what a hymn of substitution. But the greatest illustration of substitution I can find in the Word of God is right here in John 18. I want you to notice it. Our Lord had been with his disciples at the Lord's Supper. He had given them the instructions that we have in John 14, 15, and 16. And now Judas comes to betray him, and he has a band of soldiers. It's night. Our Lord steps forward to this band of soldiers, knowing all things, and he says, who are you looking for? He said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I am he. And everybody falls over backward. He's the great I am. The one that revealed himself as such to Moses at the burning bush. And of course, after they got their composure, he said, who are you looking for? They said, we're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He said, I told you I am he. Take me, you let them go. Ah, friends, that's substitution. That's the love of Christ. Here we see the activity of the Savior, and then the Spirit of God adds something, that it might be fulfilled. Of them that thou hast given me, I should lose nothing. Nothing of them which thou hast given me. Take me, you let them go. Our Lord is protecting his own. He's taking their place in death. He's the one who didn't deserve to go. His disciples did, for in that group there was one who would deny him. Peter, in that group were 10 other men who would forsake him. But he said, you take me instead of them. Death and the curse were in our cup. O Christ, 'twas full for thee. Here we have the great result of faith. He is Jehovah of the Old Testament. He acknowledges that the disciples should go free. And they take him. That's the greatest illustration in the Word of God of the great truth of substitution. I have a question for you. Have you believed on Christ? Have you believed? Has there been a time in your life when you came to Christ as a guilty sinner and said, Lord, I believe. I believe your word. You died for me. I have a word of assurance. He that believeth is not condemned. There's a hymn in your hymn book that I like very much. Hymn number 44. There are two stanzas missing in your hymn book. Charles Wesley wrote the hymn, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? But the fourth stanza, which isn't in your book, and the fifth stanza are the two that I like of all the five. They're all great. One of the best hymns. He must have been with Whitfield before he wrote this hymn. But the fourth stanza tells how we're saved. He says in that fourth stanza, long my imprisoned spirit lay, fast bound in sin and nature's night. Thine eye diffused a quickening ray. Behold, the dungeon flamed with light. My chains fell off. My heart was free. I rose henceforth and followed thee. Oh, that's what it means to be saved. But oh, the next stanza, the fifth, says, no condemnation now I dread. Jesus, my all in thee I find, alive in him, my living head and clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ. My own. For Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now. Oh, I love that word, now. Do you know what it means? Now. Right now. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. He that believeth is not condemned. Oh, what a word of promise. Oh, what a word of assurance. Oh, what a word of blessing. He that believeth is not condemned. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus. And with that I love 1 John chapter 3 and verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, that word now. Have you believed? Is this a reality with you? Oh, to be able to say, I have believed to the saving of the soul. I have a word for you. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Let's sing together that first stanza of number 44. I quoted stanzas 4 and 5, which aren't in your book. But we're going to sing verse 1 of number 44 as Bobby leads us. And it says, and can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. And all that chorus, amazing love. And can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? Take these. Take me. Let them go free. That's substitution. And there at the cross, he was taken, and you and I have no condemnation. There's no condemnation to him who believes. Now before we sing, let's pray. Our Father, who is like unto thy dear Son, perfect in holiness, absolute in righteousness, wonderful in love, that he would love me and give himself for me, and then tell me there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Take this word, search our hearts, and may each who are here in this room today be able to sing from the heart, "And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood for Jesus' sake?" Amen.